B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. New week and a lot to talk about as all these sports collide and converge. So let's start out with the one that means the most to us right now. The Philadelphia Flyers. Oh, my. Tampa Bay. Oh, that was supposed to be the game that they came back down to earth. They dominate that team, too. And they sweep the round robin. And they get the number one seed in the NHL Plus. I don't know what that means. I don't know. If we had home ice advantage, maybe it would mean a little more. It's always good to be the number one seed. And they face an opponent that they should easily handle in the Montreal Canadiens. And I would expect that series may be a sweep. If they're playing the way they're playing. Now, there's this notion that we'll see soon enough. Playoffs start next week, right? We'll see. But this adage that the top four teams, except for the Flyers, in both conferences, were just kind of janking it through that round robin. It really didn't matter to them. We'll see. The Flyers are just a bona fide hot team that has that look. So we'll just have to roll and see what happens. Wednesday, the Flyers start the series, an 8 o'clock game against the Canadiens in the Eastern first round. And that should not be a challenge. All right, let's move on to the Sixers. All right, they got a nice grade for effort yesterday. And B goes out. Not much hope they're going to win that game. They hung in there. They played hard. There was a Josh Richardson sighting. Alex Burks played well. The game means nothing. Because if they don't have those two guys, it's irrelevant what's going to happen with the Sixers, because it's not going to be good. So now Embiid is, they'll probably, you know, relax with him. He shouldn't have come back in a game yesterday. You keep him out. You take the L. You move on. And whether they get the sixth or the fifth seed, it's still going to be problematic, in my view, for this team. So we'll just have to ride that a little bit longer. Do you have any thoughts on this? See, this is the thing that we're getting back to now, because I've been reading social media too. We are so disgruntled with the Sixers situation. And our balloon has been popped with many pins to the point people are now going back to, oh my God, the process was a failure. This is how frustrated Sixer fans have gotten. Oh my God, we screwed it up with the process. I mean, and then out of league's paying us back. The basketball gods are paying us back for tanking games. Listen, stop it. All right? The Sixers maximized the process. Whether you want to think it or not, at the time of the process, they took two players that were the best players they could possibly take in the draft to build around as a foundation. Now, yeah, it's easy down the road to look at it and go, oh, it hasn't worked out the way we thought. But you can't do it that way. You have to put yourself in the Sixers' shoes at the time. They couldn't have done any better than Embiid and Simmons. So what are we worried about? If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. We're not going to have enough information to say it's not going to work out. This year is this year. We still have a lot of time to figure out whether this is going to work out. Now, did they put the right players around Embiid and Simmons? You have a case. You have an argument that maybe they did not. Now, I don't know what those right players are. Did they put the right coach around Embiid and Simmons? I don't know. Maybe you're right that they did. But to chastise the process when you accumulate two players like that is silly. So let's not go that far. You want to analyze the Sixers, analyze them what they are now, what they need to be. You can envision a time where they may have to split these two guys up. Me, I'm keeping it at least till 2022. You know, I want to see where it goes. I'm not going to jump the gun. All right, let's move to the Phillies. You lose a doubleheader at Atlanta Braves. Spencer Howard makes his debut. Eh. All right, you can tell he's got stuff. He's got a great knuckle curve. He throws 95. He can get he can miss some bats. I like it. It wasn't a sterling debut, and it wasn't a sterling doubleheader. And here's my question, because a lot of people were commenting on it, like, I know nothing about baseball. Major League Baseball season is on an hourglass. The sand is sifting through And it's not a big hourglass. The Phillies have 55 games left. The manager is managing this season like they've got 162 games. Now, they're playing their main division rival. Time is running out. You got to get all the wins that you can. Where would you sit your best player in a game of a doubleheader? Now, what do we ask JT Realmuto to do? To catch 14 innings. Not 18. 14 innings. And maybe in a situation like that, you don't worry about the rest that he needs and he can't catch back-to-back games. And another season, yeah. Not in an hourglass season. And not only that, if you wanted to rest him, he's not in the lineup to hit as a DH. Now, maybe it's me. But see, if I'm managing his team, I know I've got only a certain amount of games to make some hay. If I got a chance to win a division, I can't play games like resting my catcher and not even making him a DH. And I don't know what Joe Girardi's thinking, to be honest with you, but I saw so many people on social media say, what are you talking about, Mike? You can't catch back-to-back games. Really? When? When can't you catch back-to-back games when you have to catch 14 innings? Is that too much to ask? Seriously. I understand there's this all, well, catchers. Well, catcher. It's a position where it's not fun to play, all right? And it's more taxing than a lot of positions. 14 innings, the main rival. If that's out of time to push the envelope, I don't know what time it is. It's like having Hector Neris in there to get an extra out. You don't want to do that either, but you realize you have to. I was peeved by that decision. And they wound up losing the doubleheader.
Yeah.
All right? Now, listen, people are, well, Mike, you make an argument to me that I'm wrong. That it was too much to ask for the guy to be in the lineup both games. Whether it was a catcher, which I would like to have anyway, I'd rather have him than Knapp catching Velasquez. I understand you want to save him for Howard. And you go to him and say, hey, JT, Holmes, I need you for 14. Can you give me 14 today? Is he going to say no? He's a gamer.
No, he wouldn't have said no.
He wouldn't have said no. I'll be honest with you. If I'm him, I'd fault him for not going into the manager's office and saying I want to catch 14. What are they saving him for? He's going to be a free agent. What are you saving him for? Either you got to make a new deal with him, he's going to make a deal with somebody else. What are you preserving him for? I don't get it.
He should at least DH'd the first game.
Yeah, I'm not going too old school to ask a guy to catch 14 innings. I'm sorry, I'm not. 14 innings to catch, in light of these circumstances, is not too much to ask. All right. Also, college football. Looks like it's gone down the tubes. The Big Ten opting out here. It only leaves four power conferences left. What will happen? I predict it'll fall like dominoes. Boom, 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 boom. Every conference will do the same thing. However, maybe a conference like the SEC says, well, it's easier for us to play for a national championship if we just play. I don't know what's going to happen here. What do you think?
I think that greed, money's going to always win, unless there's some lawyers that come forward to give a reason why they can't play.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that college football is going to change. College sports are going to change because of this. Because unfortunately, the way they botched the situation, they've given players leverage that was unnecessary to give. And the players are aware of it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Because the better idea is to scrap it now, hope for the spring. But then you run into conflict with players fearing to get hurt because then the draft happens like right away. So I don't know what's going to happen with these top players as far as the players that know they're going to be NFL players.
Yeah, it's not so much that they're not going to play. I think they're going to have to budge on some things. Like the NCAA football game, for example. Rather than share the money because a lawyer said, hey, you're using their faces and stuff, they stop the game rather than share. They're probably going to have to start sharing going. That's what I mean. Like, if they want to keep things going as is, I don't think that's going
to
work.
Yeah, but in the spring, if I'm a player, I don't want to risk getting hurt that close to a draft. Would you?
No.
You know, the kid from Penn State saw the tea leaves. He goes, I'm out. I got an NFL career to worry about. I'm not going to play in this fall thing. Guys in the spring, it might be a little safer for them. But then they go, well, what's the point? You know, I can just go into the draft. If I get hurt, that's really going to lose my marketability.
Yeah, the top guys. Like, if you're Fields probably has to play just because he's a quarterback and they'll hold it against him. And Lawrence, those two guys have become the two leaders, Justin Fields and Lawrence down in Clemson. They probably have to play, but there's a lot of first-round left tackles. Because look how most of the people that opted out in the NFL were linemen.
Yeah.
I don't think in the spring you get a lot of the top offensive and defensive linemen. They say, right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and just lift weights.
Yep.
And I'll see you at
Might
the draft.
As well.
Yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. Is it 50 games left for the Phillies?
Four and six.
I use it for emphasis. But it's even worse that there's 50 games left. Right? You just sit the guy out. Come on. What are we doing here? This is a different circumstance now. Yeah, when you manage to last the whole season. I totally get it. 50 games left, you got a strike. Mike Mussinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's an opening of a week. It's always exciting to open another week with how people are going to react to what they've seen over the weekend. So the Mike Mussinelli Show will open those avenues to you today. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's County locations on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start our Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Just order online at paulbmoyer.com or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup. Their place is in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Eganoff, what's up with the Twitter poll today?
Thanks, Mike. Happy Monday. Over 100 votes on this one so far. The one seed in the Eastern Conference has not made the Stanley Cup Finals in 16 years. Will the Flyers be different? 79% say yes, 21% say no.
Alrighty, I like it. Flyers hockey and Colby Cohen, who occasionally appears on NBC Sports Philadelphia Flyers post game, will be on the show at 4 o'clock today. We'll get the spin from Colby. There seems to be this, okay, on one hand, they look great. On the other hand, these other teams aren't playing hard. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't buy that, though, with Tampa. I could buy it with the first two because Tampa was smashing teams, too, up until they ran into the Flyers. So I don't believe they weren't trying when they beat the Caps and when they beat Boston. But I don't believe they weren't trying, but the Flyers were. And then the Flyers, and they definitely tried it. And when the Flyers got up, Tampa played some good hockey. From the second period, actually the second period on, they played some good hockey. But the Flyers and that goalie, that kid's got, I don't need to see Elliott anymore. That kid is I love that kid.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they do. We'll ask Colby about that as well. What's his spin on that? What'd he do?
And none of the top five scorers even scored.
Let me ask you a question. You get up 2-0 on Montreal. Do you play Elliott in game three?
No.
No?
No. Because
just ride him? You're not going to give him a JT Real Muto rest?
No, because if you get up 2-0.
It's very taxing.
Let me get
up, be a goalie.
Let me get up 3-0. Let me get up 4-0. And then he'll get rest via the sweep.
Yeah.
Because some of these, you know, because this is the NHL hockey, there's going to be a series we're not thinking of right now that's going 7 in the first round. It's just going to happen. I don't believe the fans are going to change that. There's going to be a series that we're going to look at and say some team, some underdog is going to extend the team to 7 and maybe even pull an upset. So that's where the kid will get his rest, but let's just take care of the sweep. Although Montreal, I've been digging in with my hockey guys.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I've been digging in with the hockey guys.
They're playing well, Canadians.
Yes, but they play this style that they don't allow themselves to be smothered. So I am interested in how the Flyers adjust. They don't try to take the play to you like other teams do, and then the Flyers take it away. Mm-hmm. The Flyers are going to have to dictate more rather than react and then pounce. So I'm very interested in how it plays out, at the style difference. Uh-huh. And they got a good goalie.
Yeah. All right. I don't want people to think I'm picking on JT Realmuto, though, because he is a gamer. Okay, I love him. But, and I know he's trying to preserve himself because he's going to be a free agent. They haven't signed him yet, and he's got reasons to, you know, to stay healthy. They playing starting tonight? Or tomorrow? Today they played Rays. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's the last game of the four game.
All right, so like they got the Orioles next.
Mm-hmm. And then the Mets.
How about a day off there?
Yeah.
You know, hey, Skip, playing Braves, I'm going.
I don't know what he said or not. I'm
just saying.
It's early in a relationship with the manager.
I don't get it, man.
The manager.
At any level, I do not get keeping him out of the lineup an entire game. Let's go, Ryan in Lumberton. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing today?
What's going on, Ryan?
So I'm in complete agreement with you about this JT Realmuto thing for a lot of reasons. And there's an overarching theme with the whole issue of I'm not sure what Joe Girardi has been thinking just in general over the last couple of weeks because, you know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he obviously knows more about baseball than I or, you know, most other people do. He's, you know, obviously an extremely well accomplished manager and all these things, but I can't make heads or tails of some of these decisions. And yesterday was another one. Not only is Realmuto, you know, a great catcher, a gold glove winner from last year, not only could you at least have maybe played him as a DH in one of the two games, he's your only hitter hitting above 300.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you count Hazley and, you know, those guys.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. He would at least been a DH, but I still have to have my best player, one of the best catchers in the league, catch both games. I need the help I can get. I can't sacrifice Velasquez with Knapp.
No, sure, and I agree. And I think if they were both nine-inning games, I would understand it more. But I agree with you. It's not just 14 innings. It's 14 innings with a two-hour break in the middle.
There's no two-hour break in the middle. They play right away. They play 45 minutes.
Well, okay. That's a 45-minute break.
They play back-to-back. I get it. It's taxing. I'm not saying it's easy. But it's 14 innings, and they need – this is the Braves. All right? Yeah, if it's another team, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all, but – To me, the more egregious part of it, and you're not wrong about the whole catching thing because you're definitely right, but the more egregious part is the hitting. When you have guys hitting, you know, multiple guys hitting 150 or below on this team, you can't take the only guy out that's hitting above 300, I don't think.
I get you.
It's a joke.
I'm totally agreeing with you. Who DH'd in that first game? Who's the DH in that first game?
I forget now.
They threw a lefty, so that'd be a right-hander in the lineup.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lefty. No, it was Kyle Wright. That's the first game for them.
Bruce.
All right, so it was a right-hander. So yeah, it was Bruce. Bruce is a DH.
Yeah, in the first game.
That's why I would catch him. It's a right-hander. You got to have Bruce in the lineup. He gives you some pop. So I got no choice but to catch him two games for 14 innings. I'm sorry. Avery in Sicklerville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Avery.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Avery?
I'm glad that the Flyers are doing really well and like the other two teams that are playing because it's just a lost cause with the Sixers with the Embiid injury. If he's injured like for a while.
No, he's not injured for a while. He'll be back.
Okay. But for the Flyers, it's wow. They got the one seed. They could probably go places, but they've got to be careful with this series with the Canadiens, with the Montreal Canadiens.
Nah. That's the way they're playing.
I know, but any series could be a trap. Like, we could be like one of the one seeds that could bounce in the first round if we don't take them seriously.
Not the way they're playing. They're not a first-round upset team. They're playing solid from top to bottom. There's no way Montreal's going to be able to overcome with the way they're playing.
I like your enthusiasm, Mike.
I don't want to put down people going, you're going to mush them. No. The Flyers are a so much better team than the Canadiens. I can't see any kind of a letdown that would lose to that seed. That's not going to happen. Now, if they get into a series with, you know, who knows the way these other teams are going to come back, whether they play the Lightning, whether they play the Bruins, whether they play the Capitals. You know, those teams have a chance, but they're not going to lose the way they're playing. They're not a letdown type of team. That coach won't let them let down against a team like Montreal.
Yeah, this coach does know what he's doing, Mike.
Yes, he does. All right, Avery, you got it, buddy. Yeah, this is not a letdown. This is the one thing we look at the Flyers and we go, that's not a letdown team. Again, this fan base recognizes what a good team is, right? The fan base looks at that team, that's a legitimately good team. It's not fluky. It's like they're legitimately good. So a legitimately good team is not going to be weak enough in character to let down, to lose a series to that kind of a seed.
I think prior to the restart, they were being considered fluky. But now that they came back and they're just as stronger than ever, that argument doesn't even hold up anymore.
Yeah, so I wouldn't worry about that one. Okay, let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Greg?
Thank God for the Flyers. Not much positive to take out of the Phillies doubleheader. Why do they keep running that sidewinder Kelly out there?
It has no business in the majors.
I mean, unless you're Randy Johnson and your release point is 3 feet away from home plate.
No business. Who made a decision on that guy?
Yeah, I mean, there's no depth to his pitches. I mean, you can't physically throw a 12-6 curveball from the side. You can't do it. You know, so I think it makes it easier on the hitters because the ball tends to stay in the same plane.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, did you think Hoskins, he squared up a few.
He hit the ball hard twice in game two, but he still doesn't have that look that he's going to drive the ball into the gaps. You know, that's when you know that your swing is on plane, your timing's right, and he's got that ability to drive balls into gaps, and that's where he's going to hit his home runs. He doesn't look like that type of player yet.
No, he doesn't. He hasn't had the eye of the tiger this year whatsoever.
No, you can tell. His confidence has waned.
Now, what did you think about Howard? He had some decent movement on some of his pitches.
Yeah, he's got good stuff. He's going to be fine. I don't worry about him. The debut wasn't that great. You know, he gave up two bombs. But he does show, like, that knuckle curve is pretty devastating that he throws.
Yeah.
So, and he's got 95 where he can get a guy out. It's just a matter of him getting command of that fastball in spots where he can use those other pitches because he's got four pitches.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Did you think Girardi should have just held up four fingers for Acuna and Freeman and put them on first base? I mean, those two guys killed him.
Yeah, you can't just walk, dudes. It's not Barry Bonds.
Well, I mean, they played
Acuna,
like it.
Acuna hadn't been hitting until this series, and then he found it. And I tell you something. He needs to get spun tonight. He started doing a little dance between second and third on the second home run he hit.
Did you see that?
He needs a little shaveroo tonight.
That's right. A little
chin tonight for my man.
Yep, absolutely.
We'll see if they do it.
All right. Well, I hope they do.
All right, buddy. You got it. Who's going tonight for your fighting Phils?
It's
pitcher night.
Nah, I just saw it. It is. Oh, it's Nola.
Oh, Nola's pitcher night. Oh,
yeah,
he won't chin him.
No, but I think they're going to win tonight, and then you just get to split.
Liking the win,
I do. Because he's going to go deep. I think at this point you might have to let him go deeper into the game. He's probably he's been building up. This is his third start now. He's probably good for seven.
Yeah.
He gives you seven, and then I can kind of count on my closer, and then you just got to figure out the eighth.
All right. How about this? How about Real Muto plays first base in game one? If you don't want to catch him two straight days, and you want to have Bruce as your DH. How about Real Muto plays first base and plays a Hoskins in game one?
How much has he played first base? Like, did he do any in spring training or summer camp?
He's played it occasionally as a Philly.
Has he?
They're like, yeah. Right. He's played first base before. What is it, brain surgery?
I don't know if he can play first base.
Come on. It's first base.
I don't know if he can play first base.
He'd be fine. He is bad in the lineup. He played first base. He catches a couple throws from third. Let's go.
Wait. Gosselin leads off tonight.
Gosselin's leading off?
Yeah. And he's the DH.
He's the DH.
Yeah, and leading off tonight. Hoskins still in the two-hole. Harper, Realmuto, Didi, Segura, Bruce in left.
He's trying stuff.
Kingery
doesn't
and
seem to
Quinn
know what
again.
He's doing. It's like a rotation. Like Brett Brown is managing this team.
Yeah, and I don't like this Quinn back to center field every other game thing. Neither guy is playing well now because then nobody can get comfortable. I don't know about this manager. I don't like what he's done so far overall, I got to say. For like the first 10 games, I would give him like a D.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
I would give him like a D for the first 10 games. Now it's 50 more, and maybe I'm crazy. But so far, not impressed.
Yeah. They, so far. Sean Newcomb's pitching for the Braves tonight. They should hammer him.
Yeah, so I think they get the split. They get back to 500. Mm-hmm. And then if they can beat some of the bad teams with the extended playoffs, even with this terrible bullpen, they might have half a shot. Right. 500 might get you in.
Yeah, Gosselin leading off. That means McCutchen needs a day off. He doesn't look good.
But he's had a bunch of days off.
McCutchen?
Yeah. That's what I want to say. I think he just needs to play. Because he didn't have any summer camp, and he didn't have the original spring.
Right,
because
he played
of the
a
knee.
Doubleheader yesterday. So
he only played one of those.
Oh, he even played one?
He only played the second game. Like, he needs it back.
I don't know what he's doing.
He needs it back.
Zach Gosselin's his hottest hitter.
I'm fine with
it. Put him at the top.
I'm fine with that. And then,
he's got Kingery back in the lineup tonight. Yeah, it's really funny. They give him rain now, and he plays on Saturday. What was that about?
Yeah.
Like I said, what, he figured it out home watching TV on Friday night?
And you saw that he didn't.
No, he didn't, man. He's back in there.
I thought he needed a day to watch.
Oh, 97 he's hit.
Yeah, but I don't understand.
Roman Quinn at the bottom at 211.
I don't understand.
This is not an offensive team. They have no sizzle offensively, this team.
You know, going into that doubleheader, though, they were first in OP. They were second in baseball in OPS.
Yeah, but they're not getting the clutch hits. What's OPS mean?
Well, I'm saying they're getting five. Hits. They were up until the last two. They were scoring five runs a game. All they right. won Saturday 5-0. They were scoring five runs a game up until the
No pizzazz, though.
I think their offense has been good. It has. Their pitching hasn't been.
All right, let's go Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Kevin. Yo, Kev.
Mike.
What's
up?
What's going on, Kevin? Uh-oh. You ready to bail on the Sixers, Kevin?
No, I wanted to wait because I didn't want to over-mic you. Korkman. Seth, I tried three or four times to pronounce this guy's name.
Korkman?
Korkman.
Yeah.
And I tried three or four times, and I'm not pronouncing this game right, so.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
It's not
going to
happen,
let's do it a little time. Let me do it a little time. Maz, M-A-Z, pronounce that.
Can I call him Quirky Doodle?
No. Maz. Say Maz. Maz. Can you say Maz?
Maz.
Oh, right. Oh, it's Cork with a Maz.
Cork Maz.
There you go.
All right.
Simple.
Hey, Mike, I want to talk about the Sixers. I like watching them on TNT. I like when Kenny goes to the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed that the Magic of the four players are cheating to guard Embiid, and because he said that we don't have great shooters, mm-hmm. which I already know. Mm-hmm. These guys are good shooters.
Yeah.
So I already said that these Brett Brown is just making these guys shoot these threes when they're just good shooters, when they should dip inside, take a mid-range jump shot, mm-hmm. and get to the basket. You know, because they're not good shooters, Mike.
Yeah.
Kenny said he's never seen nothing like that.
Yeah, well, he's not wrong that they're not great shooters.
Right.
But, again, it's too simple to think that Embiid can, every possession, get in the post and bury people.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic. So, I don't know what to make of them. I don't think they have enough. You see some guys like Josh Richardson, he awakens in a game where there's, the other two guys aren't on the floor. The other two guys are on the floor. He looks like he shrinks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
Me either. Hey, Mike, let me ask you something. We were talking about Sharks about a week or so ago. It's Shark Week this week.
Yeah.
Why don't next summer we have Shark Week on the Mike Missimelli show?
Shark Week? How are we going to do that? Give me an idea.
Next summer.
Program. Like, like what?
Just doing Shark Week. People call in and tell their shark stories and ask questions about sharks.
you think everybody has a shark story?
I know not everybody. Well. You know, I was just thinking, Mike.
All right, Kev. We'll take that suggestion under advisor. I'll try to have Shark Week for you. All right, buddy.
All right, buddy.
All right, you got it.
Shark stories.
Yeah, the game he's referring to is a game on TNT where we love Charles, and we're still going to make room for him to be a co-host before the summer runs out. But how many times can he tell the Moses Malone story about Moses telling him he was fat and lazy? It's like every time he says it, it's like he forgets that he told it 100 times previously. Like, I don't understand that.
And people eat it up. So Kevin is right. I was doing outsider stuff, so I ended up seeing it later. So Kenny does, he goes to the board, and Charles ran after him, first of all.
Yeah.
So he goes to the board, and he's explaining why the way the Sixers roster is built, it's tough for Embiid because they showed all this traffic.
Right.
For Embiid to catch it, they also talked about how tough some of the entry passes are for the guards.
Yes.
Because there's all this traffic saying that while Embiid, he goes, in this case, Embiid was in the right spot, but here's why. He's showing on the video why it's not all Embiid's fault. And then Barkley immediately goes into Fat and Lazy and the Moses Malone story.
He tells that story like Pete Rose tells the Joe DiMaggio story, which I can't really tell on the air.
Right.
But there are certain stories that guys don't think they've told it before. Like Charles is oblivious to the fact that he said it 100 times on the air.
Right.
On that show. He's told that story, and he somehow thinks it's a novel story.
Every time the Sixers play on TNT and the Sixers are down by even 1 point, here comes that story. Then in the second half, he had like 17, got to the foul line like 12 times in the second half. After the game, nothing. Nothing at all. Like, it'd be one thing if you say, see, like when I said with Moses, now it's just nothing, as if it didn't happen, just to set up the next time they're on TNT for him to tell the story again.
I'm waiting for Kenny to shut him down. Because Kenny, you know, like, he's like rolling his eye. He's not doing it on camera. You know, inside his head, he's rolling his eye. I just wish he would say, dude, you going to tell that story again? You told it 100 times.
React to what
they got that kind of relationship.
Yeah, he can say it. Right. Yeah. And Kenny's in there. I can't imagine Kenny going, he's the one working with the producer, getting the video so he can do his video breakdown. And Barkley doesn't even watch it.
No,
he doesn't even pay attention to it. It just goes on to the next thing. Kenny's in there saying, because they do the 3D on the board and stuff. That takes a lot of work for Kenny to do that. And Barkley don't even watch it.
No,
I'd be so mad if I was Kenny.
He's Barkley on the air. He's not like an analyst. He's just Barkley.
Yeah. And we love Charles.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just, when you talk about analysis, Kenny's the only one that's giving you anything. Shaq and Barkley aren't giving you nothing.
Next time he's on, I'm going to bait him. I'm going to go, hey, man, you play with Moses, right? What kind of relationship did you have when you first came up? Well, let me tell you, Moses said to me, Charles, you're fat and lazy.
I mean, he tells it every year when he's on with you.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that before. What? Really expand on that. I'm sorry. 610-632-0975. One open line. You got one line to get in. So it's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic and ABC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 244 on the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. And you can climb in 610-632-0975. All right, we're hitting almost every sport today. Flyers, Sixers, Phillies. And one of the things I want to explore again, because I'm seeing it on social media, and people are getting, you know, hitting me up on Twitter, oh, the process was a failure, blah, blah, blah. I need you to describe to me how you think the process is a failure. It can't possibly be a failure when you land two players like that. Now, at the end of the day, those players still have to lead you somewhere, and that hasn't happened just yet. But it's also like who they put around these players, and I think the Sixers have been floundering in these other spots on this roster. So, but come on, what more did you want them to do? What more could they have done except get into a position where they could draft two substantial root players?
Yeah, the one thing they could have approached it with was a little bit more humility. They should have, and we're all guilty of that. Losing on purpose should not have been given a name. The GM should not have been allowed to hide in a basement. He should not be honored when he didn't win a damn thing, and the team has yet to go on to win anything. I think that they're
Hinkie do.
Yeah, Hinkie got way too much love for hiding in a basement. We shouldn't have. The process should not have been a thing. It should have just been what I think that our approach. Our approach, not the team's approach, but no, and the team too. Being jerks about it, I think we were a little too cocky about it.
Yeah,
I never agreed with the, oh, this is awesome part. Like, I know it was necessary.
Yeah, this is awesome.
We get to watch Henry Sims. This is great. We get to watch Hollis Thompson. This is great. We get to, like, that's the part I don't like.
The part I liked about that is when it was honest. Because there's some the Sixers were pointing at all the people who are blinded that the only way you can get good is to get bad. And draft players like that and make a foundation. Now, I guess there's other ways to put a team together, but that back then was the most sure way to do it. You needed those kind of foundation players. So it's like, we're honest. We're just playing by the NBA's rules. We got to get bad to get good.
I think
that would have been fine.
I think in hindsight, if you look back over the whole process, it was the immediate expectation that once the process was complete, whenever you deem that based on your personal parameters, that maybe we set the bar too soon.
Yes.
That's what I mean. So we just assumed that once the process was complete, whenever you felt it was with Embiid and Simmons actually taking the court, it's that we expected it to be over right then and a championship right there.
Well, I didn't think the guy wasn't going to shoot.
Well, that's not a part of it.
But we just watched The Last Dance, and everybody loves the Church of Jordan. You've mentioned this a lot of times. Jordan didn't win right away in this league.
6 years.
And the thing that we haven't recognized, a lot of people didn't, is, and these same national people that say trade them already, is you have not given Simmons or Embiid 6 years on the court to allow them to get, you have to, if you're not going to give them the same rope as Michael Jordan, you're not giving them enough rope. And that doesn't mean that you don't criticize them. Criticize Simmons. Criticize Embiid as much as you want. But you can't say, let's treat them differently than Michael Jordan. And you can't say, you didn't know Michael Jordan was going to win then in real time.
I get your point, but it's difficult to give a rope to a guy who won't shoot a basketball.
I agree with that part.
You know, completely. I mean, that's part of the rope.
I agree with that. And I'm tired of it. And I know that you're probably right that it's going to take another year, but I need it to not. I need it to not.
I know you need it to. I didn't expect it, though. See, I expected that when they got the two foundation players, that would grow, but what's holding it back? This dude won't shoot it.
And that directly affects when you talk about,
he's not going to be as great as we expected.
And how you build around. How do you build around a guy who refuses to shoot a basketball?
That's the baseball card in the bicycle spoke right there.
Because you say, oh, this guy's not the right guy. Well, who is the right guy? And they'll say, oh, well, a shooter like JJ. Mm-hmm. They didn't win a damn thing with him. Like, there is no right guy if he just won't shoot. There is no right guy because you're still playing 4-on-5 a bunch of the times in the playoffs. Yeah. You just are.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Josh and Manion. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Like, I don't want to go down that road with the process because I think it's an absolute abomination. It was the worst thing that could have ever happened. That whole, you don't lose on purpose.
Well, of course
it's
you do.
It's inhumane.
It was
fine. No, it's not.
All right, if they didn't lose on purpose, then you wouldn't have him being Simmons. Then what? Really? And you thought you were going to build a team? Like how?
Well, Mike, you do it the right way. What's the right way
unless you get foundation players?
Develop, find them in the draft.
Find them where? At pick 18? Come on.
Josh,
you're being unrealistic. You don't find foundation players at pick 18.
Mike, you got to develop. You got to build it up. I mean, let's be honest. The kid we gave up for the kid from Wichita State.
Are you kidding me? Serious? Come on, Josh. Your basketball eye needs to be fine tuned here.
Mike
Landry Shamet. You're going down the Landry Shamet road. Come on.
I'd rather have Landry right now
than Tobias Harris.
Better than Ben Simmons. Yeah, I'll take Landry over Ben. Anyway, what I want to do right now.
Hold on one second. Now what? Give me one reason why I shouldn't cut you off right now. You would rather have Landry Shamet than Ben Simmons, is what you just said.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Now I'm supposed to continue this call now? I'm supposed to feel good about continuing this call with you.
Why not? I'm just being honest. You can shoot it.
Hey, Josh. Say goodnight, Josh. Goodnight, Josh. Come on. Seriously. Oh, my God. Rob in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob.
Mikey Miss, what's up,
Rob?
Mike, I haven't talked to you since March, man. I've been working from home. It's just been a crazy year, but I'm waking up this morning, and the Flyers are the best team in the city. You got to be going crazy.
Yeah, how about that? They are the best team in the city. They got a legitimate chance to win a championship. They are the only team that has a legitimate chance, unless maybe the Eagles. I don't know.
I know. In October, I'm not going to sit here as a Flyers fan and say I knew this was coming because it has been a bit of a surprise. I'm cautiously optimistic, though. The NHL playoffs are not like the NBA. I think you can say for sure that the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers, they're going to win their first two series in the NBA. NHL, especially on neutral ice, is not like that. Upsets happen. It's like the NCAA tournament, in my opinion. So I'm not counting my chickens like a lot of the Flyers.
Yeah, it's Montreal, though. They're not going to trouble Montreal.
Carey Price, a good goaltender, and then they struggled against Montreal. They took them to overtime twice. But,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
You guys actually, listening to you guys on hold, I want to talk Sixers.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I called in about a year ago, and Ty laughed at me. And listen, I'm going to say this statement again, and I stand by it. Ben Simmons is not a superstar until he can consistently shoot the ball and score. I don't care what anybody
says. No, I think most people say the same thing.
Okay, well, that wasn't what people were saying a year ago. And when I see his stat line of only taking 8 shots tonight,
that's
scoring
not true.
6-8 points, yes, it is. Like, I would. There's 25 guys in the NBA that I would take over Simmons right now, like Dame Lillard, DeMar DeRozan. I said this a couple years ago. Everybody said no. And until I think Sixer fans are kind of like Flyer fans are. They're starting to be cultish, you know? Like Ben Simmons, they refuse to admit that the guy has a massive, massive flaw.
I don't think anybody refuses to admit that. That's the only thing people talk about. Nobody's in denial about Ben Simmons not shooting. Where are these denial people?
You guys are starting. How many times do
see,
I
they, see right away? You went with the you guys thing. You went with the you guys. See, that's a typical Flyer move. That's a Flyer fan move.
How many times have your callers called in?
This is a bitter Flyer versus Sixer call. I'm not having it.
See, right there,
no, a lot of it.
Who has not acknowledged that Ben Simmons can't shoot the ball or doesn't want to shoot the ball? There's not a person on earth, much less in Philadelphia. Like, what are we talking about? What's this? This is not noticeable? Of course it is. We all say the same thing. For him to get to a superstar level, he's got to be able to shoot it. He's got to be able to score 25 points a game. To score 25, you got to shoot it. We're not oblivious to it. Come on, man. That's a na-na-na-na-na call.
Uh-huh. I was getting a lot
of those. Guys.
Yeah. I've been getting a lot of those.
You guys.
Somebody told me.
You people.
Uh-huh. Don't watch the Sixers. Don't watch the Sixers in the playoffs. Watch the Flyers. The guy told me that.
Here you go, Flyer fan. I'll give you one. You are in the comfort seat right now. You guys are the only chance to win a championship in this city. There, I said it. That should make you feel good, right? And what do you care with the Sixers? Just have confidence in your squad that they're going to win something. You don't have to put down other teams to make yourself feel better. You should feel good on your own.
That's right.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.